Live from the Go Mile High Studios, this is the best damn sports show, period. With your hosts,
Ian McClintock,
Jason Meekum,
Jack Jones,
Estelle Ambrose,
and Tariq Young.
And yet... Alright, and there we go. So, now that I've got the clear... Welcome back to the best damn sports show, period. I don't sound like a 90-year-old chain smoker today. Thank the Lord for that. Some throat coat tea, some ice cubes just straight on my throat all night. Felt amazing. So, but we're back. I'm here with Estelle, with Jack running the ones and twos. Jason over here once again. Missed him the last couple days. Tariq is out at practice, so we got a special guest, the man who voices our intro, Blake Matheson.
Hey.
He's back in the saddle with us, and he's going to ride out the next hour. But as we all know, we're coming off the emotional high of Monday night, winning our first NBA Finals. We've been talking about this for years here in Denver, how we have been so fortunate to get Nikola Jokic at 41. Everybody's been saying, oh, we never knew that he was going to turn into this, yada, yada, yada. Well, there's numbers to finally back up how impressive Nikola Jokic has been outside of just his awards. And I'll just start with this. Since the merger in 1976, there's only been seven players after pick 41 that have ever made an All-NBA team. And only three of them made the Hall of Fame. And that's going to be Ben Wallace, Manu, and Dražen Petrović. But none of them made an All-NBA team. And here we are with Jokic sitting on three. I mean, it's just... it's mind-boggling to me just to see that among so many other things. And I know that you guys are going to get into it here in just a sec. But, I mean, what does that say about the rest of the league? And, you know, does it truly mean that these second round picks should be worth more now that we're finding players like Jokic down there?
I mean, I think that there's always a diamond in the rough down there. I think Jokic is a very special circumstance. I don't think every year there will be a guy coming out of the second round winning two MVPs, winning finals MVPs, winning championships for his team, you know, being the best player in the world. But I mean, we've even seen it in the past. Bruce Brown was a second round pick. I would even call that a steal. He's a key bench player. He got picked, I think, 42nd, right around that same range. Isaiah Thomas years ago, last pick in the draft, he ended up being pretty good for a couple seasons. I mean, there's always, you'll look every year and there will be guys that are great role players in the second round, but we rarely, like you're saying, see a guy like Jokic come out of the second round and be what he was. I don't think there's a single player on this earth, even himself, that thought that this was going to happen. I doubt he even had the confidence that he would be the best player in the world one day. But you know what? I do think that people... I don't think that there's going to be a bunch of superstars down there, but I think the NBA thinks so. I think we're going to see a lot... I've said this for the past couple days. I think we're going to see a lot of random European guys drafted in the second round because everyone's trying to get lucky with their lottery ticket and find their Nikola Jokic.
What was your question again, Ian?
Just, you know, are we ever going to see another second rounder, you know, turn into Jokic, and what is going to be the importance of these second round picks, knowing that we're seeing a player like Jokic coming out of the middle second round?
Oh, well, I hope so. You know, the NBA, with all these awards that they're getting, I think the NBA can be too much and also can be political, but they also love the introductions. They love saying this guy won this much award. And so that's why I think also this year and possibly last year, they renamed all these trophies, which, by the way, since they renamed them, the first one to get those trophies since renaming is Nikola Jokic, which is also historic, which is pretty cool. But I hope so, to the point of your question, that we do find some more people like Nikola Jokic, because to kids out there who want to have a dream to play in the basketball, like, don't give up. Keep going. Look what Nikola Jokic happens. No one thought he would be as great as he is today. And so I guess that's my answer to your question.
I think the second round has always been valuable. Because there are the only two rounds in the draft, I think you have to be incredibly careful with your draft picks. Thinking of, like, Bruce Brown, he was a second-round draft pick. And I think, like Miami, like, there's only two rounds, but they had all those undrafted guys, which I feel like that's another place where people can find their diamonds in the rough. But I feel like your second round should be just as coveted, kind of like in football and in hockey. Like, first rounds are the best. Like, second round's right up there. I think it should be coveted similar, mainly because those guys are also... you might not get as much talent, but they're they can turn into people, as we've clearly seen with not only Nikola Jokic, but like I was saying, Bruce Brown. Like, he's probably number one free agent this year. In terms of if he doesn't accept his player option, which he shouldn't in terms of making the bag, but like, he's going to be up there. He's coming off of a ring, and he was a second round pick as well. So I think the NBA like probably already knows this, especially the scouts, but your two picks, theoretically, if you don't lose them or do it, like, matter.
Well, and you got to think about it too, like, in the NFL, in the MLB, in the NHL, there are way more than two rounds of draft. The NBA is the essentially on quotes top 60 prospects. Now, there's always going to be the undrafted player every year that comes out and shines, but these are the top 60 guys in the world that are going to be coming in the NBA next year. I mean, there's probably totally going to be second round picks. He's one of the top 60. At some point or another, yes, there will be superstars that come out of there. I personally don't think that there will be another superstar, best player in the world that comes out of the second round. I think it's a Tom Brady situation. You know, Tom Brady got drafted in the last round of the draft.
Yep. And round 6, pick 199.
He ends up being the best quarterback, winningest, you can say, quarterback of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can officially give him his GOAT sign just for the amount of
time he's
won. You got to give him the respect. And Nikola Jokic is in a similar situation as that, where he was overlooked. He wasn't very great coming up. I mean, people saw the potential, but he was way more than people thought he was going to be.
Yeah. And then just kind of going a little bit further into this, those three Hall of Famers that I named that got picked 41 or later, none of them had ever made an All-NBA team. There's actually only been three other players drafted in the second round or undrafted ever to be named to an All-NBA team. And that's Dennis Johnson, DeAndre Jordan, Mark Gasol. And each of them only had one single All-NBA team moniker, meaning Jokic alone has as many first team selections as every other player that's ever been second round or undrafted in post-merger history.
Well, and you look at Gasol, and he's probably the closest you get to Jokic, but man, Jokic is a solid two-step Nikola Jokic, you know, 14 feet ahead of these guys. It's super unlikely. The NBA has always been two rounds. There obviously seems to be less NBA-ready talent than kind of the rest of the leagues. Like, in football, you can not essentially just toss guys in, but you kind of can,
because
it's 11v11.
Right.
5v5 is a little less. You have to be a lot more specific about it. So that's, you get into two rounds, and obviously history shows that there's just not a lot of talent that comes out of the second round. I mean, there's, you know, occasionally a guy here or there, but there's truly not a lot of talent, and that's just another one of those Nikola Jokic stats that he's creating for himself. He's going to be like, he's going to have all these stats by the end of his career that's like, oh, who's ever going to break that, you know?
Right, and then, Blake, what are your thoughts on it? Because I know we've kind of gone around with everybody else, but what are your feelings about just hearing all this? Like, where are we throwing Jokic in with some of these all-time greats?
Yeah, when it comes to those late-round guys, he's the greatest of the great. And being an owner and going into the draft in the future and thinking every Wonka bar is going to have a golden ticket in it beyond that point, I think is a little naive. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think he's definitely in the unicorn realm in regards to second-round guys, 40-plus picks.
Yeah, definitely. And then before Jokic, there had been no MVP that had ever been taken later than pick number 15. Do you know the two players that were picked at number 15 that have won MVPs?
Oh, man. Let me dive into my brain real quick.
I'll give you a hint.
What is it, pre or post 2000?
Both awards were given out post, but one started playing pre.
Is one of them Kevin Garnett?
No. It is not KG.
He was drafted higher than that. Did he even win MVP?
I'll give you the current one. It's okay. Giannis. Giannis was picked at 15.
Yeah.
The other one, we were talking about a little bit off air. I'll give you a hint. He's Canadian.
Steve Nash.
Oh.
They were the latest picks to ever win MVP before Jokic did at number 41.
Well, and that even shows it more. Like, in the NBA, the draft, really, if you don't have one of those top 20, 25 picks.
Well, even, like, top 10.
Yeah, I mean, you saw the Nuggets do in the past couple of years, getting the, like, they've been good, so they haven't gotten a great pick. They've used a lot out of their draft. I think every NBA team could get somebody that could not essentially start but play in their lineup in the first 25 picks. After that, it's not getting lucky because it's some of these guys' jobs, but it essentially is getting lucky. You have the eye for this, and this guy has potential. You just have to take the gamble on it almost. And, you know, Nuggets took the gamble on Nikola Jokic, and look where we are now. But it shows in history, these guys after 15 really aren't superstars or MVP caliber guys.
Yeah. And then just one other big time thing that I wanted to throw out there, because I dove into this. No player drafted in the second round has ever gotten a minimum of 10% of possible MVP votes across their career. Meaning, like, when you're sitting in the MVP pool, which is usually your top 10 or top 12 candidates, how many of those votes are you taking home? And if you win a unanimous vote, it equals one full share. So everything else is basically percentage points. Jokic right now is currently 20th all time at a 2.7.
Jeez.
So you put all these numbers into perspective here, and we're actually going to get into this here on the other side, as well as diving into a little bit of CBA talk, because we all know that that's going to be huge, especially when we're trying to keep this team together. But I want you guys to think about this over the break. Is Jokic really going to be the best European player in NBA history? This is putting over Giannis as well. But it's just something to think about. We'll be right back here on the Best Damn Sports Show here.
A trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, grace, bald, striking really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama. They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
If it's great radio you're looking for, then you're in the right place. Because at GoMileHigh.com, we have tons of shows discussing sports, news, politics, entertainment, community affairs, and much, much more. And don't forget, if you miss out on one of your favorite shows, you can always access our archived episodes at GoMileHigh.com on your own time.
If I'm here and you're here, doesn't that make it our time?
Go Mile High, your college radio for sports, movies, and games. Run by students, for students, and more.
Let's see what they can do here from the five.
Sports news, live games, and discussions about just about everything.
Disney turning their rides in their parks into movies.
So close, so many times, and to have that snatched away.
Come and join us every day for your favorite shows, only at GoMileHigh.com.
Hey, Colorado sports fans, you're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School Studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torturing yourself, man! Live in the now!
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Showing!
Don't touch that dial. You are
locked in to the best damn sports show, period.
It's always nice to reminisce and look back at the pictures from a couple nights ago, especially when you see Nicola's picture holding both trophies. If you zoom in on the Lady O'Brien trophy, you can actually see his daughter. But obviously, welcome back to BDSSP. Everybody's back for this as well. We left off last segment, and I wanted you guys to think about it, so now I want to get you guys' answers. Nikola Jokic, just knowing the numbers that we know now, are we willing to crown him the best European player of NBA history? And I mean, this is above Armanis Sabonis. This is above Giannis. This is above Dirk, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili,
Pau Gasol.
I mean, any of the Gasols. I mean, where do you guys throw Jokic at right now in that debate?
At the top. I mean, right now he's already a star among stars. And you see him already, what he has done with the amount of time versus what they have done with the time that they had. Granted, I think the Nuggets have done a great job building around him and, you know, with Jamal Murray and the help and everything. But Nikola Jokic is a superstar in this league. And with European, this is fantastic. Now, I hope that with his, the way he's been playing, sets up future stars to come in and break his records, but I don't think it's happening anytime soon. It also depends how long Nikola Jokic lasts in the league.
I don't think, I can't put him above Dirk yet. It's just the all-time ranks for Dirk is where he's above Jokic. Because, I mean, listen, 6th in scoring all-time, 26th in rebounds, 53rd in blocks, 92nd in steals, 152nd in assists. Jokic's highest number all-time ranking is 186th in assists right now. So, I mean, just until he's been in the league a little longer, then I'll be willing to put him over Dirk because I'm sure that he'll kind of up those numbers a little bit because Dirk was obviously in the league for a little bit longer than Jokic has been. But currently, it's easy to say from the eye test and as a extreme Nuggets fan that you want to put Jokic underneath that crown, but not yet. Time will get it there, but I'm not above Dirk yet.
See, but arguably, I think that Jokic has already been more dominant than Dirk. Dirk did have that one finals run that was magical. It was awesome, and I wasn't old enough to be paying attention to basketball then, but I've watched plenty of highlights. And, you know, it also might be my age a little bit, but I think that Nikola Jokic, at least from what I've seen and what I've taken in on basketball history, is definitely the best European player to ever come into this league because he's 28 years old. He has the same accolades as Giannis Antetokounmpo, and somehow, some way, this guy just continues to get better every single year. I mean, Jokic didn't even win MVP this year, and he got better than he was last year. His passing game upped. He almost averaged a triple-double. He had a completely different role on this team than he did last year, and it improved his skills as a facilitator and a basketball player. And I just think that his skills will last, and because he isn't jumping super high and going super aggressively to the basket and yamming it and getting his knees all messed up, that if he wants to, he can continue playing the league for a very long time. Now,
I think that was an important thing to say right there. I'm glad you threw that. Yeah, I think you can see the way I was looking at you.
If Nikola Jokic ends his career too early and depending on his accolades, I mean, maybe you do have more of a conversation by the end of his career if he retires at 32, 33 years old, where maybe he only gets the one championship. He has the couple MVPs. But I think if he stays on the same trajectory he is, and I think it all really depends on next year and if he continues to be dominant, but for sure in my mind, I guess maybe fresh off the championship, Nikola Jokic is the best European player. With Giannis and Dirk, you can kind of put him at a three-way tie. It just seems Dirk's kind of already stopped in his tracks, but if Giannis or Jokic can kind of push forward, it'll be between them for the rest of their careers.
I think in like the next few years, it's going to be really the battle between Jokic and Giannis. Definitely, I think Jokic is better. But him and Giannis basically have the same like career accolades to this point, the back-to-back MVPs, the championship, the final MVP. Giannis, of course, has the Defensive Player of the Year award as well, which in terms of accolades is like one above Jokic. But I feel like those two are definitely going to continue battling it out. And I feel like a lot of people forget Giannis is European because he's not white, but he is. He's from Greece. Just because I saw a post that was, it had Dirk, and everyone's like, do people just forget Giannis?
Yeah. Well, and the thing about Giannis, too, is you can give him that Defensive Player of the Year, but it's like the Defensive Player of the Year compared to the records that Nikola Jokic has broken. I feel like kind of even it out.
Yeah, those two are going to be fighting, I think.
For sure.
For the next few years. They already have more in terms of like trophies and
there's a chance that that Giannis can top Jokic just depending on how long his career is.
I also think it's the year, right? Like next year, Giannis could honestly come back and be better than Jokic.
Well, and if he wins the finals next year, well, that kind of puts Giannis back on top, especially if he gets another finals MVP.
Being in Denver, it's very much Jokic, Jokic, Jokic right now, but you got to give credit to Giannis. Like,
for sure.
He's been in the conversation every year in terms of MVP. So.
And I know he had a tough year this year where he had a little bit of injuries. They got booted in the first round. Just definitely something tough to come off of, especially being on that high of the championship. Kind of been a tough going since then. But I could see a very dominant Bucks team this year coming back fully healthy. And I think they have something to prove. They have that Denver Nuggets chip on their shoulder.
That they do, but another thing that they will also have to worry about, similar to what the Nuggets will have to worry about, is this new CBA agreement that's coming into effect here in a couple of years, to the point where teams are only allowed to have two Supermax players. Obviously, you would have to assume that here in Denver, it's going to be Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray receiving those benefits. But you continue to look at this starting lineup. We've got a couple players here in about 3-4 seasons that are also going to be re-ing up. Eventually, it almost feels like we'd have to let one go just to stay within the cap. So I want to pose this to you guys, and I don't like this conversation, but I feel like it needs to be had. In order to avoid the luxury tax fines that are going to get smacked in the face with us with the CBA, who would you rather keep? Aaron Gordon or Michael Porter Jr., and why?
Well, how much is Aaron Gordon like actually going to command? Because I think right now he's on like a 5x5 or something like that. Like, he's not.
Yeah, he's got 3 more years left.
Yeah, I'm like, he's not going to command that much money. And how much is the CBA going to go up by then? Like, basketball is getting bigger. This was the most watched playoffs in like 15 years or something.
In the last five years.
Yeah, it was like a pretty decent sized chunk. So the NBA is still growing. So the salary cap's probably or the soft cap, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm a hockey person where we have hard caps and it's like you can't go over that. But
we have our hard caps too, and we are very close to it as is.
But I mean, they have luxury tax, and the Kroenkes have no problem spending money. They clearly have enough of it, even though they don't feel like upgrading either practice facility, the Nuggets or the Avs, or a TV deal. But besides all those things, they clearly are fine spending money. Look at the Michael Porter Jr. max he has currently. Like, that was the one that put him over the luxury tax, and they were fine spending it. Aaron Gordon's not going to command much more money than he has right now. He's getting older. I mean, he's not old. He's just going to age in those next 3 years. And I'm like, is he really going to command a max contract? Because I don't think so.
And by then, do we really think that MPJ is going to be deserving of a max contract again?
Will he get another one?
I mean, I feel like he hasn't. You know, he's been better this year, but I still feel like he hasn't lived up to that money we've given him. I think he has the potential to completely. You can see it, and maybe he'll come out and be better next year. But especially, I guess maybe it's also maybe a recency bias. But he played like a solid starting power forward. Was it a max starting power forward? In my opinion, not really. But he's going to end up demanding that. And I don't think it's worth the Nuggets' time to keep him for another max contract. I mean, unless he's at that time when his contract comes up, averaging more than 20 points a game and like almost averaging a double-double, then it might be a different conversation. But if he stays on this path of like 15 points, 7 rebounds, I don't want to give you $200 million more. Like, I feel like that's a little overpriced. But again, with another point with AG, is he, you know, need all that money at that point? Is he gonna be worth all that money at that point? I feel like it's a interesting situation because Michael Porter Jr. will essentially be entering his prime, and AG will be kind of almost exiting his prime, if you would say so. So it just kind of depends on that season and what happens there. Coming off of a finals, AG completely. That defense brought us all the way home. Without him guarding Cat, KD, Booker, LeBron, AD, Jimmy Butler, bam, we lose at some point. We're not making it to the finals. So, AAG, I thought his presence was way more important than MPJ's in the playoff run.
Sure. And then Blake or Jason, what are your guys' thoughts?
Well, yeah, you know, like the same about to what Estelle and Jack just said. To me right now, immediate answer, I guess, you know, Jamal, Nikola Jokic, and Aaron Gordon, to me, they're concrete. The rest of the whole entire team, we change everything up, I think we will be fine, to be honest with you, because I think with those three as a core, almost anyone can work with that and work well with that. But with like what else that Estella's saying, like once Eric Gordon's contract is up, then yes, there might be a different time right there. Michael Porter Jr., he's been like a hope of a player, you know, like, well, let's hope he does good. Let's hope he makes some three pointers, which we learn in sports that hope is not a good game plan, or potential is not a good game plan. So I really think that in the end, keep those three and see what else we can move around. And everyone else works around that.
I think it just scares me to be really willing to get rid of a guy that has averaged 40-plus percent from three in three of four seasons that he's actually played fairly heavy minutes for us. But I could see it being eventually a casualty of MPJ kind of, yeah, wanting to get the bigger bag and maybe not fitting into the culture of the Nuggets going forward. I mean, he's assimilated well enough now, and it's been really nice to see him come into his own in this playoffs run. But remember the Bones Highland fiasco, and I could admittedly see that in Michael Porter Jr.'s future, especially if he sees his potential, his ceiling higher than the Nuggets do. I could see that coming to a head for sure.
Well, I totally could too, and that's kind of the other half of it. I think that some team will definitely offer MPJ a massive contract and have him be the one of the center points of their team. I think he's the fourth best player on this team. If he goes to the Charlotte Hornets, he could be one or two. I mean, sure. If you go to the Washington Wizards, you could be the best player on that team. It kind of just depends on what his morals are. And we've had moments like Blake was saying where it's like we see those glimpses where it's like, I want more. I think I'm better than this, and I think I'm worth more. But then we've also seen him kind of fit into this role. But after the finals, is he going to want to continue to be in that role, or does he want to, you know, venture out and be the star? Because in my eyes, I see Michael Porter Jr., and that guy wants to be a star. He wants to be the center of attention. Mm-hmm. So I honestly also think there might not even be a choice. I just don't think the Nuggets are going to be able to offer him the money he wants, and some team will. He's
right.
The NBA loves to play the potential game, and Michael Porter Jr. is the perfect potential player.
Yeah, and then just another thought that I had while you guys were discussing that before we get to break here in just a moment. It almost feels like if we were to try to dip into that luxury tax and keep all four, it feels like we'd almost become what the Warriors have become, where you're so reliant on your core players and you almost refuse to build out for the future. And especially if, you know, if we do decide to pay AG and MPJ, we're going to run into a situation where we only have four players on the roster and maybe only have 14 million in cap space to have a little more position.
Yeah, just like Jason said, you can't run a sports team on potential. You also can't run it on nostalgia. So
exactly. And that's the one thing that I've seen with the Warriors. It worked for a little bit. But right now, it's nice to know that it's the Nuggets time. Seems like Vegas feels like it's the Nuggets time, as we are currently the favorites to go back-to-back, to be the first team to go back-to-back since 2018. I'll let you guys think about this. Should Denver temper their expectations? Should we embrace being on top? We'll get to that here on the other side. You are listening to the Best Damn Sports Show, period.
Go Mile High, your college radio for sports, movies, and games. Run by students, for students, and more.
Let's see what they can do here from the five.
Sports news, live games, and discussions about just about everything.
Disney turning their rides in their parks into movies.
So close, so many times, and to have that snatched away.
Come and join us every day for your favorite shows, only at GoMileHigh.com.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it'd work. Turns out, my human is pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it, but he just throws it. Again. I gotta say though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human. A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
While cutting molding with a 12-inch dual compound miter saw, while holding a newborn baby in your arms, when face to face with a congregation of alligators, with the ball in your hands and the entire freaking season on the line. While juggling chains, there are a million places you would never consider texting. So why would you do it while driving? Please stop the texts, and together, we can stop the wrecks. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway and Traffic Safety Administration. Get the message at stoptextstoprex.org.
I'm working two jobs, and my husband works too. My kids go to school with your kids. I'm one out of every six Americans, and my family is struggling with hunger. I believe in this country, but it's hard to believe so many Americans have to choose between paying bills and feeding families. Visit feedingamerica.org and find your local food bank. Every dollar you donate helps provide 7 meals for those struggling with hunger. Together, we're Feeding America. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Jill, why don't you tell the class what you did this weekend?
Well, my dad and I went in search of some magical minnows and found a zillion of them in the stream from our lookout rock. Then my sister and I escaped from an evil slug king and went back to my super twig fort for safety. Then we told stories till it got dark, and the Big Dipper led us all the way home. Whoa!
Where were you, Jill?
We went to the forest. It's not that far away.
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hey, Billy, want to go to the state fair?
Yeah!
Well, you can't. Well, you see, Billy, when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have done with it. But now your parents are becoming energy efficient. They can save hundreds of dollars a year and take you to the fair next year.
I want to go now!
Aw, I know you do. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the best damn sports show, period.
Alright then, just let me kick a little sport flow. It's John Cena on the best damn sports show. I'm nothing but net, like Peyton from long range. I got a big unit, so I'm going for long change. And on top, I'm gonna pass y'all. I throw the high heat like a Rob Dibble fastball. Beats is nice, flow's astounding. I pitch a perfect game like my name is Tom Browning. Yeah, that's right, and we keep it sparking. Sweet swing like Eric Davis or Barry Larkin. I'm a bad boy like Sally or Lambert. Your show is blessed, man. The champ done been here.
Brought to you by GoMileHigh.com.
All right, and we are back from halftime here on BDSSP. Let's just dive right back into it here real quick. Denver, again, opening up the 23-24 NBA season as favorites to go back-to-back. He would be the first team to go back-to-back since the 17-18 Warriors. Should Denver embrace it? Should we push it off a little bit? Because if you know how Michael Malone is, he's always been one of those, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. But when Vegas and the world is finally paying attention, it's almost nice to be like, hey, now we're finally getting recognized outside of this quote-unquote cow town. Thanks, ESPN, for that one. So, I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts on being the favorites? Should we just embrace it, or should we take the Malone approach and maybe just push back a little bit?
I think you have to temper your expectations. Avs were the favorites last year, and then you lost the captain. And then you just had everything else go wrong. Being an Avs fan myself, that year was rough. They had, I think, like the fifth amount of man games lost. So hopefully it doesn't happen. Like, knock on wood and everything that it doesn't happen. But coming from this far out, like, it got awarded 2 days ago, my guy. Like, things are going to happen this summer. Other teams are going to get better. Injuries are going to come out. We have a whole season to get through. I think closer to the NBA season is when you can really start looking at that. Because that way free agency has passed, the draft has passed. Anything else that happens will most likely come out by then. But I think Denver as a city, we had back-to-back, we're having back-to-back parades tomorrow. Two parades in less than one calendar year, which is wild. But I think as a city, temper the expectations. You're going to have two very good teams, but especially for the Nuggets, everyone's so high right now. Things are going to happen. As they always do, who knows, injuries pop up out of nowhere. We were riding high when AG first got here, and then the worst thing in the world happened. Jamal Murray, well, not the worst, but the world came crashing down when Jamal tore his ACL. So things like that happen. So I think as a city, we need to, like, take a step back and be like, it'd be cool if it did, but it's a little early.
Well, I think you need to embrace it, but in a different way, not saying, oh, we're the best, we're going to do this back-to-back, going on saying it. Because I think it's nearly impossible to count yourself out at this point. You just won the finals. Nobody's going to believe that wish-wash. They're not going to believe, oh, count us out. Dude, you guys just won the finals. Nobody's counting you out anymore. Mm-hmm. You have to accept that every team is out for you. You've got the target on your head. You are the team to beat in the NBA this coming up next season. That's what I think they have to embrace. They have to embrace knowing that every single regular season game, everybody wants to prove a point and beat you. Everybody wants to defeat the defending champs. It's a lot of what the Avs went through this year. Lots of teams played them a lot harder than their other regular season games that they didn't care as much about. The Nuggets are going to play hard-fought games. Teams are going to want to come into Denver and upset Denver more than usual just because they are the world champions. So you have to embrace that you did win the finals, that you are favored to go back, and that you are essentially the best team in basketball for one regular season. It depends on how you respond if you want to make it two.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. This is our time. This is our moment. We have Nikola Jokic, the best player in the world. Let's take advantage of this. Let's win some more. How many did Michael Jordan win? How many did Steph Curry win? This is our legacy. This is our dynasty. Yes, let's go back to back. Let's keep going. Nikola Jokic is one of those guys that doesn't get hurt. He doesn't get injured. He is very smart. And even better with that, Michael Malone, I thought did a very good job on keeping his team healthy all the way till the playoff time. And if he does that again, we should win a couple rings.
Yeah, and then just to piggyback off that before we get to you, Blake, the Nuggets had the second least amount of man games missed this season. I think we were only behind one other team. I don't remember who it was, but to be number two for an entire season and then some, it's a huge statement to the team.
So. You know, before the Nuggets final start, I don't know if you guys remember, you saw that clip with Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm.
He said, we're a city of champions. That's more than one win for me.
Fair enough. All right, Blake.
I was going to say I think that the Nuggets can repeat, but then I heard that the Lakers might be adjusting and putting Hachimura on Jokic, so that kind of scares me.
Well, I didn't know you should have told us this information. I mean, now the Nuggets are screwed.
Oh, no.
Whatever.
I didn't see someone that, like,
did
James Harden's
going
there. Did
you see that Bam
Adebayo
is going to be guarding Jokic?
Oh, no.
And he's going to shut him down?
What about AD?
Yeah.
AD, lockdown defender.
Yeah, whatever are we going
to
do?
But, I think they definitely have the potential repeat, but I'm going to air my biggest fear that I've only aired. Jack is the only person that's been unfortunate enough to hear this fear that's in the back of my mind. So now I air it to you all.
I have the fear too.
And I fear that Jokic is going to plateau so hard this next season. I don't know how hard.
Averaging another triple-double? That's a plateau.
Yeah. The triple-double's a plateau.
Okay, let's say a downhill slope then, because it terrifies me how much actually winning the ring and making that ultimate goal hit that dampener switch on the lamp. Look, I love to live in this world where we think Jokic comes back and just continues to dominate, but I honestly think that we could be underestimating how much he's like, we did finally make it. Like, he said himself, we did it, we can go home. And I get he was just talking about this season, but kind of deeper inside of him, I think this was a big piece to his soul, and I don't think he needed more of those pieces to fill that piece.
The job is done, we can go home now.
I mean, honestly, I think it's going to be interesting to see exactly what happens. Obviously, we all know he wants to get back to his horses. He's got this big race Saturday. That's really why he was saying, no, that's why I want to go home. Between that, obviously, we all know that he's a huge family man. Seeing Natalia and the entire family out here for that was really, really nice to see.
I got a comment off of you, Blake. You really think that's going to happen? Nikola Jokic.
I think it's naive to say that he just does not.
The way I see Nikola Jokic, he doesn't look at the wall, the grand wall of the church building. He looks at it of a brick at a time. So I think for him, he's going to take it since he comes back next season.
But his church is built. The church is done.
No, he doesn't care right now. He won. He doesn't care. He's going to reset. He's going to take it one game at a time.
Does he want to detail the church? That's the question. I mean, I agree with Blake, though. Like, Jokic could just be like, take the foot off the gas pedal. I already did it. I mean, cool. I can spend more
time. I mean, look at the last month of this season when they knew that they were going to make the playoffs as the one seed. I mean, I think that that's kind of a visual of the beginning to this next season.
It was the whole team, though. It wasn't just Jokic. It was everyone. I mean, that's just, they knew where they were at. I mean, the Avs did it before, and then they came back here just as hungry. It's just unfortunate how things went out. Like, Nathan MacKinnon at the beginning of the year came out on a vengeance. I feel like winning, especially for Jokic, like, will drive him even more, just because, like, he's going to be done when he doesn't want to play basketball anymore. I think he said that. He's come out multiple times and said that. So I think as long as he's playing, he's still going to be dominant, and he's going to probably be in a great shape coming into the year, because I looked it up earlier. He has Serbian World Cup games, so, and he wants to play for his country, and then I feel like he kind of extends to Denver as, like, his second team that he plays for. Like, he's only going to play with Denver, so as long as he's enjoying it, he's going to be here.
Yeah, that's one thing to look at. But another thing that fans, honestly, I thought would enjoy is having a legitimate baseball team in your city. But apparently Oakland disagrees, because even the mayor and everybody, they came out for reverse boycott night last night just to basically stick it to the Fishers and forcing them to sell. They tripled their amount of fans that they normally have. So on average, they've been averaging about 8,500 fans. Last night, they got to 27,759, and they got loud enough to the point where they actually had to have their home pitcher take out their pitch comm just to make sure that it was even working. So let me pose this to you guys real quick, just a couple quick fire things. Is the Athletics move to Vegas the right move or the wrong move?
Well, it's the wrong move if you're the owners and an Athletics fan for sure, an A's fan for sure.
Well, I don't know. I think it's about the right moment. Everyone's going to Vegas, right? What just opened up in America? Betting. What's the betting capital of the U.S.? Vegas. So right there is a money maker. If I was an owner, I think it would be the right. As far as money goes, winning, I don't know. But money, time to make it.
Too little, too late for A's fans. I mean, if they wanted this team to stay, they could have tried a little harder.
Ooh.
Yeah. I don't really care. It seems like Vegas is on the horizon, but who knows? Maybe if they do sell the team, then they'll keep it in Oakland. Oakland has clearly a strong enough fan base. It's just they don't want to go to games because things are cheap, and the same problems are going to be in Vegas.
True. Well, speaking about Vegas, coming up on the other side, we're going to dive into that Lord Stanley's Cup going over to Sin City. We'll be right back on the other side.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know, from getting all this great experience working in college radio. It makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence,
really?
Flowing robes, grace, bald, striking really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama. They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
It's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
Hey, Colorado sports fans. You're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School Studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torturing yourself, man! Live in the now!
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com.
Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Showing.
Hurry, young Papsy, we must make it back to Camelot so I can listen to GoMileHigh.com.
Oh, who goes there?
It is I, King Arthur, on his mighty steed. Let me in the castle at once. I must get to my quarters to listen in to the best in Colorado's sports lifestyle programming.
But, sir, don't we live in medieval Wales?
No, Papsy, you mustn't ask questions when I'm listening about my beloved Broncos. Ah, GoMileHigh.com.
This is Estelle and...
Tonight, we are the greatest hockey team in the world.
This is the best damn sports show, period.
And we're going to dive right back into the hockey world. Shoot, we had one extra day of hockey compared to basketball because the Vegas Golden Knights decided to tell the Cats, go home, stay home, go play in your litter box, do whatever you want to do. You know, I thought it was bad when we beat the Tampa Bay Lightning 7-0. When you allow 9 goals in a Stanley Cup final game, let alone to clinch the final, Florida, I'm sorry, but... I understand your star player was out, but have a little respect for yourselves.
Just because one of your main goal scorers is out doesn't mean you can give up 9 goals. And that was...
Well, not only that, allowing a goal after an empty netter goal, that was just mind-blowing to me. But, I mean, obviously, kudos to the Vegas Golden Knights. Only 6 years in existence, finally winning their first cup. I may not be the biggest Vegas fan.
Well, it's a little bit more fire to the rivalry between the Avs and the Knights because now the Knights are the defending champs. Yeah. The Avs can maybe take a step back, have a little bit less pressure on their shoulder, and I think that's going to be the Western Conference final next year.
I'm still holding on to hope that Edmonton will
McJesus is going to get traded like Gretzky did, and you're going to be heartbroken all over again.
What's that?
Sure.
Edmonton is picked first in 2010, 2011, 2012, and 2015.
Yep.
And all of the second round picks have won. Not one of the first round picks have won from that Edmonton.
Y'all are just trying to break my heart today. That's what this is.
Yeah, sorry. Edmonton swept in 4 first round next year.
Probably.
Now I'm just trying to make you mad.
Yeah, I know. But
it was Tyler Seguin, Ryan Murray, Gabe Landeskog, and then Jack Eichel.
Yeah, that last one hurts a little bit more. But just, I mean, I feel like the area that should hurt more is South Florida. When you had the Miami Heat do what they did, get blasted 4-1. Then you have the Panthers do what they did, get blasted 4-1. The Dolphins, they didn't even make the playoffs.
Yeah, they did. This year?
Meh.
I mean,
okay, fine.
I mean, they almost beat the Bills.
I mean, almost, but they
with a backup quarterback, a third-string quarterback.
Okay, they didn't make it out of the first round, and the Miami Marlins are not going to do anything in the NL East.
Well, we can all agree on that, but they do have the best hitter in the league.
I mean, good for them, but, I mean, how hard does it have to be a South Florida sports fan right now? General.
I don't know. They just got messy.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's like going to be the bright everything.
Is getting Lionel Messi really better than having any shot at a title?
I don't know because now they just built a dynasty. Right.
You just got maybe the best athlete in the most favorite athlete in the entire world. I mean, yeah, it sucks, but at least you made it to 2 finals. At least you're not like Anaheim or Buffalo or even the poor Leafs, man. The poor Leafs just even making the playoffs still can't do anything.
That's the other fun stat is...
They at least won a series.
The other fun stat is
the team that they've been beaten by has made it to the finals in the past like 6 years or something.
And
like,
they've all lost.
Yeah. Because they got beat by Tampa. Tampa won, too.
But they also... Didn't they get beat by Tampa the year that the last year?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's every time... Whatever team... They get beat by always ends up in the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah. All right. Something to pay attention to for NHL playoff brackets for next season. But, you know, looking forward now, obviously, our parade for the Denver Nuggets is tomorrow at 10 a.m.
I'm excited to go watch a drunk Serbian man.
Best spot.
Oh, absolutely. Civic Center Park opens at 5 a.m. I think they said they're projecting about 725,000 people tomorrow.
He was like, yeah, it was half a mil last year.
Bring a cutie spray. It's going to be pretty sweaty.
It is, but And then you have Vegas doing theirs at 7 o'clock at night?
It's the most classic Vegas thing I've ever heard
in
my life.
Yeah, they're
just having the strip lit up in Vegas
night. I mean, that's probably going to be one of the bigger parades that we've seen, just because there's going to be plenty of people there that don't care about the nights. They're just there because it's Vegas.
They're just partying, and they're like, ooh, big crowd.
Yeah.
You know, I finally found a purpose for their glow-in-the-dark jerseys.
Yeah.
We might finally get to see those things lit up for once.
You know what? That makes a lot of sense.
They have glow-in-the-dark jerseys?
Yeah, they have a jersey
where...
Yeah,
their reverse retro this year was glow-in-the-dark.
It says Vegas across the chest in, like, the Rangers style coming down. But under the blue light or whatever, it's got like the little Vegas stars inside.
Well,
it's actually
Vegas
really cool.
You know what they should do? They should make the puck glow too, and then they can just play a game in the dark. And like hitting each
Vegas.
Other would
that
be
never
ridiculous.
Works. Every time there's like glow in a dark item, you always get smacked in the face.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. True. It's Vegas. They'll just do things differently.
It's a show. If you want to see a show in Vegas, go to the Knights.
Yeah, I don't know how many of you guys have either been to Vegas for a Golden Knights game or like seen their pregame, but they most of the time have a pregame concert. Like they have a whole stage set outside of T-Mobile
Aoki.
That's just always there. Last year was Steve, but they do it for like most games. They have the drum line. Their drum line like is pretty crucial. And they march everyone in with their cheerleaders because they also have cheerleaders. They have the big night. Like it is a whole experience to go to a Vegas Golden Knight game. Like in terms of experiences in the NHL, it's one that I think most people should go to either to see their favorite team or see any hockey there. But it's one of the reasons why it became such a big place. So I'm assuming they're going to go full out like they do for every other game. And just to make it like huge, who knows? They could be on like light up floats.
Well,
we don't know.
I imagine there's going to be street performers.
Oh, it's
going to
be full Vegas.
It's going to be Vegas. Yeah, no, I think if you are looking to not remember your weekend, go to the parade in Vegas. Honestly.
I think you're putting too much stock into this time difference. Denver on parade day, 73 degrees. Las Vegas on their parade day, forecasted 95.
Yeah,
give me the evening all day, dude. I think it's a simple weather factor here, not a matter of what kind of party's going on. You can pull that off no matter what time. I used to get off shift at 6 in the morning and drink a couple Bloody Marys, get some crazy looks. It don't matter what time it is for a party, but yeah, keep me out of that bacon sun.
Yeah, that's also a factor you gotta put into this. Vegas gets real hot.
Yes,
real hot.
Yes, I would know. I was out there last year around
this
time.
I think maybe, you know, medically wise, they want people passing out the parade. There's gonna be a lot of people.
People are gonna pass out the parade.
Oh yeah, you know it's coming.
But now it's a little less likely just because the sun's not a factor.
True. Well, I will say not as much of a factor.
Yes.
So. But what will be a factor, let's just bring it back to the Nuggets. We did just win, but this also means that we will have to say goodbye to some players. Those eligible for free agency, Jeff Green, DeAndre Jordan, Thomas Bryant, Reggie Jackson, Ish Smith, Bruce Brown, he's on a player option, and both Jack White and Colin Gillespie are on restricted free agent tenders, which means the players that the Nuggets currently have are Jokic, Murray, AG, KCP, MPJ, Christian Brown, Watson, Najee, and Chanchar. And Ismail Kamagate is finally coming over from France as well.
Maybe.
We hope at this point. But knowing all that, knowing that those players that I listed are eligible to walk away, who should be brought back? Who can we afford to let walk away?
I think that there's only one player in that entire list that you want back, and it's Bruce Brown.
I mean, Jack and Colin probably.
I mean, yeah, you can get them for low money, but I mean, DeAndre, Jeff, Ish, all those guys, I'm glad they got their first chip. It was really awesome to see. Those guys are definitely replaceable. They're in the age and the position and the skill level in that position where there's plenty of guys out there. Even though we just traded for Thomas Bryant, again with him too, I'm kind of cool with him not being on the team.
And Reggie, like...
Reggie, he didn't, you know, none of these guys really did a lot to impact the playoffs.
Well, even regular season too.
Yeah, and somewhat through the regular season. I mean, I think that the one guy you got to worry about is Bruce Brown, because I think he has a potential of winning Sixth Man of the Year next year.
Right.
But it depends on, does he want to stay with this core or does he want the money? And I mean, we really don't know. He was all drunk the other night and said he wanted to stay, but does he really?
Drunk words or sober thoughts, okay? That's what I live by.
It sounds like Blake really wants Bruce Brown to come back.
Yeah, to your third
but
kid.
I think that's the only player out of all those players that you just named to me that I care about coming back.
Okay. Blake, obviously you have thoughts, so let's hear them.
Well, honestly, that just sounded like a fun point to make. But I think I'm not singing any Beyonce. That's who sings Irreplaceable, right?
Yeah.
Beyonce. Yeah, I'm not singing that song to Bruce Brown anytime soon, to be honest with you. He's fun to watch, for sure, and I think the sixth man thing is a high potential for him, absolutely. Not going to discount that, but do the Nuggets need him going forward, and do they need to put out the bag to keep him? Nah.
Well, that's the thing. If he decides to accept or choose not to, the most the Nuggets could sign him for is $7.8 million. He accepts the player option, it's $6.8 million. So like Jack was saying, it may very well come down to, does he want to chase the money or does he want to stay with the chemistry?
It's a comp that I've been hearing all week. It's the Kadri to the Avs is the same as Bruce Brown to the Nuggets. Key player that's not necessarily like one of your stars that you got on a pretty good deal.
Fan favorite.
Yeah, people love him. He brings a good hype to the team. Really was a key part to winning the finals. But it's almost the same exact situation. He has a potential to go get more money and have a bigger role somewhere else. Or he can stay and try to continue to win championships with the Nuggets. Bruce Brown isn't Kadri, though, so we don't know if he's going to want to stay or want the money. I think it's going to be a little while before we see Bruce Brown make a true move.
Well, he has until the 23rd.
Oh, he does? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he does not have as much time.
I would imagine that the morning of the 23rd is when we hear the news about Bruce Brown.
Or, honestly, I would not be surprised if we hear it tomorrow during the parade if he decides to stay.
If he decides to stay, for sure.
Yeah, but he's
going to
be drunk. They're all going to be drunk. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember the Avs last year. None of them were sober.
Nope.
No. I mean, you can look into that a little bit, but I mean, if he's gonna stay, I could see it being earlier. But if he's gonna go, he's gonna wait as long as he can before he says goodbye.
Yeah. Well, you know, at this opportunity, he just won. He played fantastic in the finals. He just won a ring. You know, if I were him, go get the money. And as for Nuggets, we don't need him. I mean, he did good, but we got the MVP, and we got Jamal Murray, we got Aaron Gordon. We're set. Christian Brown, fantastic. I see him stepping up to the plate. And to me, Christian Brown has a lot more better IQ than Bruce Brown is. Bruce Brown, he made a lot of immaturity plays, I feel like, throughout the season and even in the finals, like Will Barton always did. That's why he always reminds me of. He always reminds me of Will Barton, just one guy taking on three guys when he got four guys open. Does it all the time.
I think you're discrediting Bruce just a little bit.
For sure.
Just because I think in the moments of the finals where the game is in your hands on an offensive rebound to put it back up, Will Barton does not make that play. He will never make that play. I think that
he'll throw it out of bounds.
I think it'll hit off his head and go out of bounds.
For the thrill.
Yeah. No, I think that there were definitely some moments, especially in the finals, where we saw Bruce Brown get a little flustered, but it seemed like every time we needed a bucket, he got one for us. And I could agree with you. I don't think we essentially need him. But I think it'd be very fantastic if he stayed. I think it was a pretty key part to that finals run. I'm not saying the Nuggets can't win a finals without Bruce Brown. They have the core they need. But he is something that made it much easier to win the finals. I mean, I think the Nuggets definitely struggle a little bit more without him. Because I just think that the Will Barton comp is a little disrespectful to him. I mean, Will Barton was the biggest idiot I've ever seen in my life. And Bruce Brown, I love Bruce. Bruce makes a good play. He can drive to the basket. He can hit three-pointers, and he knows his role and has embraced his role. Will Barton wanted to be the star of the team. Will Barton's never going to be a star anywhere.
Yes. I like the comp between Bruce and Kadri. I think the difference is Kadri, theoretically, the Avs could have given as much money as it was, but he was later in life, and then from reports, from rumors, it sounded like he wanted to stay with the Avs. Like, that's why it was so long. Basically, until Calgary gave him one of the dumbest offers I've ever seen to a 31-year-old. I digress. But he was going to stay with the Avs, and I don't think that's really a choice for Bruce. I think the Nuggets are literally, like, CBA, like restricted.
Here's what we can give you.
We can't go more even if we wanted to. So I think there's that, and he's much younger in his career, so maybe he might bet on himself for another year. Because he could do that, be like, I'll prove to everyone as in the regular season. But if he was smart, he'd go get the bag. The other thing I wanted to touch on was Zeke Nagy. That is a team option. So the team could also not pick up Zeke in order to get either Jack or Colin I don't know how many of you watched Summer League, but Colin Gillespie was elite before he fractured his leg. And then Jack was really, really good in the G League. So was Peyton Watson. So I think those two are going to be super fun looking forward. I think the whole youth that is being cropped up, you have CB, of course, leading the charge. And then you have Peyton, Jack, and Colin. So I think those can fill up most of your bench depth. Yeah, you're losing your vets, but everyone's going to get a year older. Everyone just won a champ. So maybe get like a few vets. You can pick them up. Vets are going to be everywhere. But I wonder how many of the vets retire.
Well, and you know what, Estelle? You made a really good point right there. The Nuggets have a great developmental system in their G League. They have some pretty good talent there. So thinking about that also, maybe you don't take the chance on Bruce Brown because you have faith in a guy like CB or Peyton Watson stepping up into that role, or Gillespie, White, stepping in up, maybe not the same exact role, but stepping into a bench role where you can rely on this player off the bench. I think that's also a very good point. It's just, it's one of those
draft picks this year too.
Yeah, so it's one of those things where you're betting on potential again, but it works out sometimes. I mean, Nikola Jokic.
Yeah. I mean, it's easier to bet on younger potential than it is with more age potential.
Yeah, and Bruce isn't that old, so right. I mean, it's just you'd love to keep him. I just don't know if it's really going to have to come down to what he wants. If he truly wants to stay in Denver, I guarantee they're happy to have him. But
like Mike Singer said, like it's a 65% chance right now that he stays.
I think that he could make $7 million though. So
I think he could definitely get 15 this
year.
That's
the thing. You know, it's going to be a matter of does he stick around for one more, try to run it back, or does he go chase
but
the bag?
But you also look at it.
I feel like it's not chasing the bag. It's getting what you're paying. No offense, but he is worth way more than $6
million.
But also
at the same time, like $7 million is a lot of money, man. I mean, he could be okay for – I mean, it's not like he's going to be not okay without the money. Right. He could say to himself,
more okay
hey,
with the money.
One more year – I'll make $7 million and I'll still be all right. And then maybe even after this next year, I'll make $20 million. You know,
Ian, what would you pay for Bruce Brown? What do you think a good price market for him is right now?
See, that would be hard for me to say right now.
I think he's Aaron Gordon's contract.
You know, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody paid him like a 4-year 70.
470? I could see something like that.
Something over 15, maybe 16 and a half.
It's something that people are looking and getting the same comp as Austin Reeves.
Yep.
I feel like LA is going to completely overpay him.
Well, though. I mean, he's in the same similar role as Bruce, where
LA.
He's a key bench player slash can start that kind of deserves 15 to 20 million a year.
AG is making $21 million, so probably like
I think a little bit below that mark. Like I think you max him out at a 17-18, and some team will give it to him. We'll just have to see if he wants it or not.
Yeah, definitely. Well, speaking of this, let's all put on our GM caps real quick, and we'll end out the show. We're gonna make you the GM of your favorite sports team, not basketball, because I know who everybody would pick right away. Who would you build your favorite team around right now? Why would you take them?
I absolutely purely, you guys are going to hate my answer. I'm building the Denver Broncos. Patrick Mahomes is definitely my quarterback. That guy is an elite talent. I know. But imagine you're on the other side of it and we're back in the draft and we're like, oh yeah, we can take Patrick Mahomes and he can start in Denver instead of going to the Chiefs. Heck yeah, I'm taking that.
Josh Allen was more of a reality.
Well, we would have ruined Josh Allen. So Patrick Mahomes.
I'll even attest to that. Denver's coaching staff would have ruined.
Now, I do give a lot of credit to the Chiefs, but he has some self-made talent that you just don't see a lot. So completely, Patrick Mahomes to the Broncos. Bring us dynasties and championships.
I guess I'll go next. I'll take the Avs. I mean, that's my favorite team. But I'm taking Cale Makar. I mean, he's already there. And the past, like, basically for a while, you need elite defense. I saw a thing where it's like there has been at least one elite defender on every Stanley Cup team. This year it was Pietrangelo. Last year was Makar. Before that it was Hedman. Pietrangelo before him. So you keep going back. You always can find out that one elite defenseman. And Cale's, I think, elite of the elite. He had a rough season this year, but in terms of injury, he was still putting up for the amount of games he missed, he was on very good pace. But I'll take Cale. I think he'll build, and you need defense in the NHL, proven by the Edmonton Oilers, who don't have that.
They don't have a goalie or defense.
She's just going to keep digging.
They just let every team come
this
back on them, and they lose.
Yeah, you can't win by outscoring your opponent in the playoffs.
I mean, I thought we did okay with the Nuggets, second highest offensive rating in league history. Anyways, Blake, over to you. Jason,
I'll take the Rockies, and that will be Arenado. We'll work around him. No, I'm just kidding.
Bring back Arenado. Oh, gosh.
No, I'm just kidding. Actually, you know, I'm actually going to do what kind of outside the box right now. The Broncos, I'm taking the Denver Broncos, and I'm building it around the fans, kind of like what they're doing right now.
Interest
because right now he's saying right when he comes back, like, he goes, well, I don't know what we're going to go with or who we're going to pick, but he's going to say, fans, where do you want the stadium? How do you guys want this to do? How do you want me to be an owner?
Interesting take on that, Blake.
So you're telling me I can pick a team and put any player I want on it?
Yep, just not basketball, because we'd all take
but not basketball. So I think we're dreaming a little low, and I'm taking the Rockies, obviously. And
Shohei,
yeah. Baby, come on.
I was waiting
to hit
the
bombs for days. We had fun in Trevor Story's beginning with the Rockies. That was a good inaugural month or so for Trevor Story. Imagine that for a career. Let's go. Hit the ball out
and
over the party deck constantly. Yeah, Shohei to the Rockies is the stuff wet dreams are made of.
I knew you were going
to
say that. That's why I didn't say it, because I was like, oh, I'll just take the easiest comp out or the easiest one out there. But, yeah, Shohei to the Rockies.
Let's
or,
go.
Like, Mike Trout to the Rockies.
Mumford, who cares? Doesn't even matter anymore.
I own the team now. Ian, go ahead. What are you doing?
Oh, man. I mean, I would go Broncos, too. Mm-hmm.
But are you going to pick Josh Allen?
With this coaching staff, no.
I mean, you could fire coaches.
God.
You're the GM.
You know how tempting that would be to make Josh Allen our quarterback here in Denver? Like, just
He would have been trash.
Well, I mean, right now, though.
He would have been chased out of an apartment with a vacuum.
He would be sitting on somebody's couch in their house with a beer, not knowing where he is. Hashtag Chad Kelly.
Yeah, he'd be doing something else. But no, I think, Jack, I think you're on the right path with picking Mahomes. I just think his talent is just so far out there that you're just never going to see. He's essentially the Jokic of the NFL, in my opinion, just with the ability of being able to run, even though he's not known as a runner. His ability
to
throw.
He's a John Elway runner. He's the same quarterback as John Elway. I can't get it out of my mind.
Well, guys, I'm glad you're thinking of me that way.
And on that note, no, it's been a really, yeah, thanks, Kermit. Yeah, no, it's been a really fun show. Obviously, we will see everybody tomorrow after the Nuggets finally get to do their parade as well.
10 o'clock in the morning.
We're going to be champions for the next year, baby.
Yep, but for everybody here at BDSSP, this is Ian McClintock signing off. We'll see you guys tomorrow.